Welcome back, everybody. Today is the second week of Advent, and we are Thursday.
And we are also Ken and Janelle.
Yes.
Hey, we want to thank you. This channel would not exist without you. This is your channel. We're so glad that you're here, and we're happy to serve you. So thank you for being us. Today, we share with you what stood out to us and why from Father Fernandez's book, Meditations in Conversation with God.
A lifelong struggle will be necessary if we are to follow our Lord in this life and gaze on Him forever in heaven. The Christian life is simply not compatible with self-satisfied mediocrity, love of comfort, and lukewarmness. So here in Saskatoon, it has been so cold, like really cold. And yesterday, I think it was minus 41 degrees Celsius. So that's pretty cold. And I was outside. I had to go do some groceries. And we don't have our vehicles parked in a garage. So we have to plug them in so that they actually start the next day because it's just so cold. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, I remember being outside and having to plug this vehicle in and just being like, oh, kind of annoyed and wanting the comfort and the luxury of a heated garage or like a vehicle with command start so that it would be warm when I got into it.
And you got command start.
Well, not
Ken, go start the vehicle on your command. Yes, dear.
Anyhow, as I was plugging it in, because I had just gotten home, I was just thinking how much I wished for, you know, the comforts. But then I was also grateful for the struggle. Because I feel like my life is a life of ease compared to many people. And I don't always have, I mean, I shouldn't say that. There's many opportunities to offer sacrifices, but I just don't always choose it. But in that moment of being in the cold, I could choose to offer that up. And actually, it also brought to mind a book that I'm reading with our daughter. She's 9 years old and she's reading a book about Our Lady of Fatima. And it's so sweet because Saint Jacinta, she's sort of complaining to Lucia because Lucia gets to suffer more because her family's harder on her. And Jacinta's like, oh, if only I could have more suffering so I could offer it up for the salvation of souls. And I just think, wow, these children are looking for more means to suffer. And they want to because they know that it will better people in the long run and for eternity.
I have never thought of that. I've never thought, Lord, I want more suffering. I always find that there's the Lord presents Himself many opportunities
for you to suffer. You know, it's true. And I feel like I don't always receive them.
You know, I think most of the time, generally speaking, we don't necessarily have to go seek out new ways. I think our cross is usually found in our complaint. So those things that we grumble about, the cold weather, going out to start the car, plugging it in when it's minus 40, your hands are freezing, getting up in the middle of the night to attend to a child who's got a sore throat or who's thrown up or who's got a nightmare. Now your sleep has been really reduced. Whatever you grumble about, I'm not saying I grumble about these things all the time, but sometimes those are the daily crosses, I think, that presents themselves to us in our married life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to further your point, today as yesterday, heroism is expected of the Christian, a heroism in great struggles, if the need arises. Normally, however, the heroism will be in the little skirmishes of each day. Just like you said.
You read my thoughts.
Yes, little skirmishes of each day. Okay, so some of mine would be like, you know, being disciplined when I wake up and not pressing the snooze button on my alarm, or not choosing to spend extra moments in the warm shower when I'm by myself. So I don't get to be by myself very often. For me, I just find it's just choosing discipline over being lazy.
One of the skirmishes and fights for me is being satisfied or accepting the time that God has allowed for us to prepare for these videos. Because I feel like we're short and I feel like we could do a better job if this child didn't have this need. This child didn't have this need. And we didn't have to run and get the kids in half an hour from the academy. And so just being saying, okay, I'm just going to accept what the Lord has allowed and do our best and let Him do the rest.
Yeah. And that's the thing. God always does that. That's what I love about God. Well, actually, I love many things. But, you know, you give Him your few loaves and your few fish, and he makes it into this enormous, abundant meal.
Hmm. Very good.
Our Lord asks us to keep up the struggle through the whole of our life, and most particularly during those liturgical seasons when he seems, as it were, to draw especially close to us in his sacred humanity. The struggle will often take the specific form of a determination to carry out with the utmost care all the duties of piety which we owe him, not neglecting them for anything else that may turn up, or allowing ourselves to be deflected by our state of mind on a particular day or at a particular moment. Okay, so what I really love about this one is it just really spoke to me, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm too tired to do my Lent or my Advent sacrifices, things that I chose at the beginning of Advent. And I'm just like, oh, it's just such an inconvenience to do that. But it's like, you know, we don't deflect them because of our state of mind or how our day is going. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've done that so many times, and almost to the point that I forget, what have I offered up for this liturgical season? Mm-hmm. I can't even remember sometimes.
Well, and part of what you said is it's our duty.
Yes.
And so there's a duty that comes to God that we owe him our worship. Mm-hmm. We owe him our sacrifice and our love. And really, it is a privilege to be able to offer it, because some people don't have the faith to be able to offer anything. Mm-hmm. So it's a privileged position. What stands out to me, though, also is the liturgical season. The church gives great attention to these liturgical seasons, mm-hmm. like, particularly in this experience, Advent. Why? Why would the church give such attention to Advent unless the Lord is bringing great grace to us through this liturgical time? It would not make sense for the church to give such emphasis to this time if it was useless. Mm-hmm. But no, we have this time. It's set aside like a greenhouse. This greenhouse where you put with ideal growing conditions, you put the seed and then accelerated growth. These are the liturgical times. I believe extra grace. Otherwise, the church wouldn't give such emphasis to these times.
I agree. Yeah. That's why ordinary time is called ordinary time. But I would have to say Advent and Lent are my favoriteest times of year. So my question for you, Ken, is how is this Advent going?
These videos help.
Yes, me too.
Because they keep me on track. I'm like, yo, you guys are going to watch. I better do my readings. Because if I don't, I have nothing to say.
You are our accountability. Thank you.
It really does help. It does, because it's easier to follow the road of least resistance. And for me, this is good. Mm-hmm. Putting my mind on this is good. So in the evenings, for example, kids go to bed, you're in bed, I go to bed later, I'll read this and I think about it. How does this apply to me? Yeah. So it's good. Thank you for being here, because you're keeping me on track.
Many of our defeats will be of only limited importance, but even when they are really important, reparation and contrition will bring us closer to God more than ever.
So it was that last phrase, will bring us closer to God more than ever before. Did you know it's possible to rise to a higher level of intimacy from which we have fallen? So in other words, we can gain more than what we have lost through our sin. For example, sometimes we think there's a plan A with God and there's a plan B. And if we've made such a serious moral mistake, now by default, we have to live plan B with God. Mm. But I don't think that's the case. I think God's grace is so great that if we're striving to live plan A, we've had a great moral failure, we go to him with contrition and repentance, then his mercy raises us up to an A+. It's possible to gain more than from the position that we have fallen. And I think this is why St. Augustine talks about the original sin as the happy fault that has won us such a great Savior. The happy fault in Adam and Eve's sin is that it has revealed to us God's mercy. We would have never known God's mercy without Adam and Eve. And that's the silver lining. I think that's the happy fault. And that has won us a great Savior. So friends, if you find yourself in a position with great moral failures and you think you're living now, you have to default to plan B, realize God can raise you up to an A+. That's God's mercy. Look at Peter, for example. Denies Jesus 3 times. I mean, that's pretty bad. Abandons him after all that Jesus has done. And what does God do through his mercy? He raises Peter up to be Pope. I mean, that sounds like an A+ to me. So friends, thank you so much for watching. Share with us below what stood out to you and why. Say that rosary, and we will see you tomorrow.